And I put them online such that if you're not here, you can actually listen to the lecture. Okay, so tonight the lectures will go up online and you can hear them, but I record all lectures. Okay, this is me, Priscilla Grosser, and this is my website, www.petegrosser.net. Okay, so go to that site, please, and then we will look at the stuff that's there. Okay, when you get to pgrosser.net, you want to click on CIS 120. CIS 17 is the name. It used to have some of the handouts that don't go out of date still probably say CIS 17, which is why I put that up there so you won't think it's the wrong course. Okay? So, if you click on that, you get to my website. Okay? Now, my website is open access. I do not use the school's website, which you have to log into and everything. I want to have open access, so I set up my own area where I get open access. So you're going to have to use another system, but you're computer majors, so you should find that not a problem. So, what I have here is down below, if you scroll down here, this is the weekly schedule. And I put up week one, week of September 5th. I tell you everything that I want you to do. And down at the bottom, I put assignments. So, if you see the word assignments, everything below that is an assignment that you have to do. Assignments are due 2 weeks after the second week after it's assigned, the week after it's assigned. There, I think I said it better. The week after it's assigned. So, and they're due on Thursday. So, if you look at the calendar, basically, and apparently I don't know how to do math. Good job. Thursday, September 17th, really should have said Thursday, September 15th, okay? I apparently did some adding myself as opposed to looking at the calendar. Anyway, they are due the Thursday after they are assigned, okay? So they are due, anything I assign this week is due next Thursday, okay? I will sometimes go back in and add things to this week of during the week, but after the end of the week, it will not change. And then I will put up week two, week three. I keep all of the weeks up there so that you can have access to the entire semester's worth of work and assignments. Okay? The book is a book that you should be reading, and it's, if you go to the syllabus, Just Enough Programming Logic and Design is the book. I think I call it just Programming Logic and Design, but it says Just Enough. You should read chapter one sometime in the next couple of weeks. I probably won't get to it till the end of next week, possibly the beginning of the third week. This class really uses the book separately from what I do in class a lot of the time. The book is the theory, and you can read the theory as well as I can. Okay, so the book is the theory. In class, we will do much more practical application of the theory. So we will start out with HTML, we'll go to a database access, we'll start doing some programming, logic, then we'll do some programming with JavaScript. So we tend to do the practical stuff in class, and the book is the backup of the fundamentals, basically. And so I'll have you read the book, and I will periodically quiz you on the book. But we will talk in class mainly about things that are not related to the book. Okay, the practical application of what you're reading about in the book. You should have gotten a couple of invitations or passwordy things. One of them is for Dream Spark, and you should have gotten that sent to you, and I believe they usually send things to your Bristol account. But you should have gotten a password for that. We again won't need it for a little while. We'll need it by the end of next week. And that will give you the ability to download Microsoft software. Okay? And you will also receive login information for CIS Web, which is the server that we can put things up on. Okay? So you should have gotten, or should be getting, those invitations. Okay? Has anybody got them? Nobody's sitting here, right?
You got both of them? Yes. I didn't get the Dream Spark yet.
You didn't get the Dream Spark. And did anybody get Dream Spark yet? They probably went to your Bristol account. Okay. Check those and see. We don't need them this week, but by next week you're going to be having to log in to CIS Web, and you'll have to be downloading Access from Microsoft Software. So there'll be two things you need to do next week involving this. Okay, so I will check with the lab. I don't send out the invitations. I'll check with the lab and find out where we stand on that, whether they've sent them out yet or not. Okay. If you look over on the side here, the first thing we'll look at is the syllabus. And the important thing is the percents. 80% of your grade is homework, programs, code, quizzes, things that I assign in the assignment section. That's 80% of your grade. I accept late homework, but I ding you in the 10%, next 10%, which is involving responsibility, etc. Okay? So you lose points there if the work is late chronically. A couple of lates are fine. But if you are chronically late, you're going to lose a lot of those 10%. And 10% is the final. Now, this course is taught student option, which means basically I have to be here, but you don't. You can either take the class in class, online, or a mixture of the two, where you come to class sometimes and don't come to class other times. Okay? So that's what student option is about. Since the class can be taken totally online, quizzes and final and things like that are online. They are such that you never have to set foot in the classroom. Okay, you can take this class from California if you want to. So those are done online. Now, the material that we cover in this course is not all that complex, but there is a lot of work, because the only way you learn this stuff, the only way you learn to make a web page is to make a web page, and the only way you learn to work with a database is to work with a database. Somewhere between a third and a half of you will not pass the class. And the reason you won't pass is because you didn't do the homework. It's as simple as that. Okay? That's why people don't pass. It's not for other reasons. It's why people don't pass. We set up lab for help or tutoring sessions or just work sessions. Eric, who's over in the corner there, is the lab assistant for this class, and he will be available probably 2 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays, right? Does that still work?
That's all.
And if there's another time that ends up being good for a lot of people, let me know if those times won't work in your schedule. And let me know, and we'll see if Eric can accommodate anything else. But that is help available. So if you're having problems with something, and I'm frequently there as well, if you're having problems with something, then basically take advantage of Eric being there to help you and go and get the help and ask the questions, because once you start falling behind, hopefully, once you start falling behind, it's a vicious cycle. And you get further and further and further. So, take advantage of the help. The other thing is that if the homework you pass in is not indicating to me that you understand, I send it back to you and I tell you to fix and resubmit. So if you get an assignment back that does not have a grade, you have to fix and resubmit it. My goal here is for you to learn this stuff. And the stuff that we're teaching, the department feels, are important things for you to learn. So if you basically don't understand it, I will write comments on where you went wrong and that sort of thing. But I then need you to fix it and to show me that you now understand it, because that is the goal here. The goal is for you to understand the material that we're covering. Let's see.
I'm in the wrong class. I just realized that.
I hope I didn't skate away already. Okay. So, if you come down here, I told you I was recording the class. There are the audio lectures from last semester. And I keep them up from last semester so that if I miss something this semester, you can find it in a previous semester. But that's where I will put the recording. And I am taking pictures of the screen periodically. I'll take a picture of this screen. And that goes into SmartBoard notes. So that's what it looks like. That goes into SmartBoard notes. And I put the notes up under here, under SmartBoard presentations. So if you're taking the class online, my suggestion is you listen to the audio and follow along with the SmartBoard. Now, I do them separately. Some people combine them. I do them separately because a lot of people just want the SmartBoard. If they're here, they just want the notes. And so I have the notes such that you don't have to listen to the entire lecture to be able to read to see the notes. But that does require that if you are here and you want to listen, you kind of get used to listening and then saying, okay, it looks like she's moved on to the next thing and going to the next SmartBoard and seeing if that's where I am. So it takes a little practice to keep the SmartBoard in sync with the audio. But people tell me that they get it going fairly well when they've tried it a few times. So those are the support things that we have. We have Eric doing study groups. We have the SmartBoard and the audio so that you can replay what happened during the day if you want to, or if you weren't here, if you can listen to it. And we have the fact that if you don't get a homework assignment in on time, incorrectly, I will send it back to you and ask you to fix it. Assignment summary is over here where I put out the summary of the assignment so you can kind of do a quick check that you have done anything. So that's the assignment summary. Okay. Notes and handouts, examples, programs, presentations, all are presenting material that we cover in the class and some material that we don't cover in the class that just is kind of related to stuff that's going on in the book or something. And so if I tell you to go and look under programs, you go in under programs, and when we do Visual Basic, those will be the programs you'll look at. if I tell you to look at examples, you go here, and those are some examples that are going on. So you can go in, there's presentations on different topics, and there are display notes and handouts on different topics. I would use these to help you with the topic that we're currently discussing and not try to sequentially go through them, because you may end up on Never Never Land someplace. In other words, if we're talking about HTML, then look for support things about HTML. If we're talking about Visual Basic, look for support things about Visual Basic. So these notes and handouts, examples, programs, and presentations should be topic-oriented, and you should go in there for ones that go with the particular topic. Questions? Oh, there should be. Please? Somebody? A question? Yes?
What time does tutoring section start?
Pardon me?
Tutoring. What time?
Links and mainly just places that I found that you can use as reference on the web. Okay, so they're mostly just places that I found that would be helpful on some of them. I mean, one of your best things to do, obviously, is go to the web and look things up. For example, our first topic is going to be HTML. And W3 Schools is an excellent source for information on HTML. So if you go to w3schools.com, you'll find that that is really probably one of the better tutorials areas for HTML. So I think W3 Schools is a good spot. Okay. Any other questions? If not, we're going to start looking at HTML. How many of you know HTML? Okay. Then you can help those around you. Okay. So, we are going to start with our first topic, looking at HTML. And as I said, the book doesn't even mention HTML, or it probably mentions it. So you're, in fact, not following the book on the HTML. You are going to follow my examples a lot. And again, W3 Schools is an excellent resource to go to. So, this time, notice this list here also appears under examples. So this time, I put the things right in the reach-of list. In the future, I will basically say, go to examples, HTML examples, and send you off to look at them. Okay, so we're going to click on the first one, HTML5 Intro. Okay? And that is making a very basic HTML page. Okay? So if you click on View Page Source, it shows you the page source for it. Okay, so the page simply said, all it said is, this is an introduction to HTML. Okay, has everybody found that? Yeah.
How did you get to that?
Just click back at my site, go to the week of, and click on html5intro.html. Okay, so click on this and the page comes up. Okay? So this is a page that is out on the web. Tell it's at www, it's the address, it's out on the web. Then I right-click on it and say View Page Source, and it brings up the code. So if I right-click, okay, so I'm going to say right-click, the code is in this page. Okay, so I'm saying view page source, and that will show me the code that made the page. And I think I just lost that. Oh, well. So, this is the code. So, it starts out by saying doctype HTML, the way I've got it up there. Okay? And if you can't see the screen from where you're sitting, bring it up. Make sure it's brought up on your computer. Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's not coming up to me.
Okay, I'm in, view source is fine. I'm in Firefox. And Chrome, okay, there's different ways, and I should have said that, there's different ways of bringing it up in different things. I am in Firefox. And in Firefox, you do the right click and do view page source. If you're in other things, you may see something slightly different. So maybe the best thing to do is to use I use Firefox in class on the phone. So if you get into Firefox, then you're going to be in sync with me. So you may all, yeah. So essentially, there is always a way to get to the source, and it's the source is the code that's behind the scenes. This is the way that allows you to get there if you are in Firefox. Okay. And he just said F12 would do it for you in Chrome. As I said, I can use Firefox, although I ran into Firefox as one of my computers at home and switched over to Chrome. But view page source. Okay? So now we're going to look at the code. And as I said, this doctype.html tells it that it is using HTML5, which is the latest version. It's not a requirement. It just is telling the browser that you're using HTML5, and if you use a different form of HTML, you can tell the browser that. If you leave that line out, then it just uses standard old HTML. Okay, and it doesn't do any harm, especially with what we're doing, because we're only doing a very brief introduction to HTML. So then I start down and I head these tags. And there is an opening tag and a closing tag. Okay, and that's the difference between. This is the beginning or opening tag, that's the closing tag. So, for example, when I start, I put HTML there. That tells the browser that I am going to be using HTML. When I put in the slash in front, that tells the browser that I'm going to use HTML. Okay, so those are the opening and closing tags. Then there are two sections inside HTML, the head and the body. Okay? The head doesn't have an awful lot in it. The body is where we put everything we want to see on the page. So in the head, I open the head, then I open a title and I write whatever it is I want to be the title. And notice that the title goes right up there by a box. And then I close the title and I close the head. Now, I break these down into lines sometimes and other times I don't. I wrote title all in one line. I could have written title, introduction on the next line, close title on the next. And it would have been fine with that. I could have, in fact, done head, title, introduction, close title, close head, all of them. Okay? I tend to do it for both readability and fixability. So I tend to break it down quite a lot, but in the title, I didn't bother to break it down. Then I get to body, and I start body, and the P stands for paragraph. So I put a P in there to tell it that I was doing a paragraph. And if I had a second paragraph, it skips a line between the paragraphs, like you do in a book. If you don't want to skip a line, you can use DID, which is division. And that does not skip a line between divisions. Okay, so you can use DIV or you can use P for paragraph. Questions? Okay. Then after I close the body, I close the HTML. So this is my HTML. Notice when I get the source in Firefox, it's different. These tools over there on the side. Okay. So now what I can do, and we'll get into that more on Thursday, is I can put this up on the web, and it can become a web page that I can access through the web. And mine is up there on the web. Now, when I write this, it has to be written in Notepad or Notepad++ or something that is a text writer. Okay, if you're working on a Mac, whatever the text writer is on the Mac. But you have to work with a text writer. Okay, if you try to write this in Word, Word very nicely adds some for you and fixes it up for you like Word, like Microsoft is prone to do. And you don't want the fix-ups. You want it to be plain text. Okay? So you should write this in Notepad or Notepad++. Or any other text editor. Okay, the next one has a list on it. Okay? And what I've got here is an introduction. I wrote introduction. Now I wrote another cell line. And then I've got a list that goes 1, 2, 3. And then I have another list that goes dot, dot, dot. Okay? The list that goes 1, 2, 3 is called an ordered list. And the list that goes dot, 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 the bullets, is called an unordered list. Okay? So, if I go and bring up the source on that, okay, here is my source. My head is exactly the same. Then I've got my body. And I put a paragraph, but I wanted to write, this is an introduction, and then skip down, like hitting the enter on the keyboard, twice. So ER is like enter, it skips a line. Okay, it's like hitting enter. So BR twice means skip a line, and it will write on the second line. So I finished that paragraph on the second line. Okay? So again, if I go back and look, you can see that I wrote this. Then I have VR got me to here, and another VR got me to there. then I wrote the second line. Now, at the end of this line, I had a closed paragraph, and so it closed the paragraph. And then I started doing the list. And the list is an OL for audit list. OL stands for audit list. So I'm doing an audit list, and UL stands for unaudited list. And within the OLs and the ULs, I have LI, which stands for line item. So I have a line item. So I have an OL, some line items, close the OL. And then I put in a line that just says, this is the audit list, and do a VRF. I didn't put it in a paragraph. I didn't put it in a division. A lot of people would argue that this is sloppy. And they're probably right, but I can be sloppy when I write if I want to. So I didn't put a paragraph in front of that, or I didn't put a division in front of that. And that makes it somewhat sloppy. Okay? So it's better to use the paragraph and division, especially if you're trying to show somebody at a job interview that you know HTML. Better to use paragraphs and divisions and not just have a line. Then after I close the UL, I close the body, and then I close the HTML. Okay? So, I wrote this in Notepad, and I just did that quick here to restore the ink, yes. Okay, there's a dumb conversation rumbling going on. Please stop that. Okay, so, if I have this, and I'm just going to copy and paste. Okay, what did they do with Notepad? Okay, so let's say I brought up Notepad or Notepad Plus Plus, and I wrote this. Okay? So now I'm going to save it. And I'm going to do a file, save as. And at this point, you want to save it. If you have a floppy drive, you would bring out your floppy drive, or flash drive, rather, and put it in there. If you don't have a flash drive, then you can go to the T drive, I believe. I know I can still go to the T drive. Can anybody else? Do you have a T drive there? If you look. If not, you need to save it on a flash drive. The thing is that if you save anything on a C drive, it's going to go away. When they reboot the machines for any reason, anything you've saved except on the T drive is going to go away. Okay? So you need to save on the T drive, and that will be kept. But better that you have your own flash drive, and you should really come to this class with a flash drive. It's very helpful. So I'm going to call this first. I can't spell. First 11:00.html. So I'm calling this the first. Okay. So I did a file save as. And then I'm calling it first.html. I'm going to say change the type to say all files. So I'm changing the type to say all files. And then I am clicking on save. And it is saving it. Okay. So now, when I go to my browser, and I want to open it, okay, I can say that I want to open it. Where am I? Actually, I'm going to go back to the beginning and bring up a new. So I'm closing this. Okay. And then I want to do, where's file open? Okay, somebody tell me how to open a new file here without doing a search. I don't want to do a search.
Control-O.
What?
Control-O.
Yeah, I don't want to do it with Control-O.
Yeah, right.
I really hate that. I want to have file up there. And I've got to set up at home so I do it. Okay, so I go to O, Control-O apparently. Still want to know. I've got it set up at home so I have file open. I'm going to get them to do that here. But anyway, Control-O. And then I'm going to go down and find the T drive. And I'm clicking on first 11. And it tells me that the type is an HTML document. And I'm clicking on that and it opened. Okay? So in other words, I bring up Notepad. I write the program. I save it with a .html extension. And then I bring it up in the browser. Okay? So, that's what I want you to do now. I would like you to write a program somewhat similar to this. So bring up Notepad, write a program somewhat similar to this, save it on a flash drive or the T drive, and then bring it up and look at it. And if you need help, direct me and get the help. You're not on the house. Okay.
Something a little bit.
and it did for us.
Yeah, it did for us. It says it takes a year to get a car. That's still better. Which is better because you're low on the computer, same thing, right?
So what is that? What's it called?
It's like a cloud storage.
What time?
No, no. The end drive is a student drive. It's like limited space, like 500 megabytes. But, it's not much. But, you can access the computer on the network. So, like, if you say something here, you can go to the computer here and all the else. Like, so,
and unfortunately,
yeah.
I don't think I have it.
Oh, you have it. Okay. It's the on the hot wire network. Even if you don't have a lot more. But anyway, so thank you for putting me on call.
Okay, apparently you don't have a T drive, but you do have the N drive. And the N drive is your drive, so you can save on that. Okay, so apparently you need the T drive right away. So you have an N drive. The nice thing about the N drive, however, is you can access it any computer on campus. Whereas T drive is limited to this particular computer.
Yeah, so we can make any if you want that.
I believe that's what you use.
Well, HTML is common. Student
login to get into the end drive, right?
It's already, once you log in, it's already there.
It's already there.
Once you log in, yeah. Then you like it.
Okay. David is up next, as opposed to John HDMO. Change that to all the flyers. Make that a John HDMO. What it's doing, why it's doing that. It brings up an error, and it brings up my own error that I've got at my server, my system. but I've got two links here. Okay? So this is how I link from one page to a next. So I'm going to do another view page source. And when I want to link from one page to another, assuming they're in the same directory. And Thursday we will talk about if they're in different directories. But right now, we're going to assume that the page I'm starting on and the page I want to bring up are the same in the same directory or the same folder so that it can find it. If it's off in another folder somewhere, then I got to give it address information. Okay? But if they're in the same folder, then it looks in that folder and it finds it. And we'll talk about address information on Thursday. So this one says when I want to do it, find a page, I use ahrefs. And that tells me that I want to reference a page. And then I put the page, I put an equal sign, and I put the page in quotes. Okay, so the page in the same directory. So I've got a page in the same directory. And again, this one works. Well, we're off a little bit on that right. The first one works, the second one does not. Okay. Then I put this symbol in. Okay, now this symbol is the finish of that A. You know how the tag has an open and a close on it? Has a has a open and a close like that. That's how I wrote the tag. Well, here I'm putting stuff inside right there. Okay, so before I close it, I put stuff inside, which is the H reference equals and the address. Okay. Then I write over here, I write something. So I put something there, and then I close the A. And the something I put there is what will appear on the page. And because it's a link, it will appear in blue and it will appear underlined. So let's go back and look at the page. There are the pages and they are appearing in blue. Now, if you go deeply in HTML, you can get rid of the color and make it any color you want. You can get rid of the underlining. You have a choice. But the default is to show them blue and underlined. So the words that are showing are another page and new page. Okay? So those are the words that are showing are another page and new page. Okay. So these are the words that show. Those are the words that show another page and new page. So that's how I make a link from one page to another. Questions. And again, if the page is not in the same directory, we're going to have address information. We'll talk about that on Thursday. Yeah.
When you talk about putting them in the same directory, how does does that work out? I'm not really sure how to ask this, but on your computer, so it knows it's in the same directory. Right now, I just scroll through this on separate files, right?
Right, but you put them in some kind of folder or directory, right?
I haven't, but
that's what you need to do. You need to make, you know, when I'm doing this, I would make a folder and I would put them on the folder. I mean, as a matter of fact, if you look at my address up here, it says www.ecourse.net/CIS17, so that's a folder. /HTML, so that's a folder within a folder. So I've now got CIS17 and HTML is within it. Then within HTML, I put HTML5. I got a little carried away. I've got 3 levels of folders. And then finally, I've got the page. Okay? So, if I then click on... Let's see. If I click on this and I click on another page, it comes up with the same set of folders. So I have CIS17, HTML, HTML5, and there's another page. So they're both in the same folder. And in my case, they're both in a 3 folders. This folder within this folder within this folder. So they're both in the same folder.
Does that directory have to be online now?
No.
Okay.
I'm just folder
on my desktop.
That's right.
Okay.
So if I'm sitting here, where's my notepad? Did I make notepad go away? I guess I did. I don't have anything. Okay, so if I go out to the... I was on the T drive. This would work for the N drive. And I say new folder, and I make a folder called whatever. And I put first one into whatever. So now if I make another page and put it in the same folder... I got to store it inside that same folder. First 11 is in the whatever folder. Okay, there's the whatever folder, and now I've got first 11 inside that folder. And if I make another file, I need to store it in that folder. And if I make another file, I need to store it in that folder. So when I do a save, I gotta put it in the whatever folder. And anything, it can find anything that's in the whatever folder. But if I put it in another folder, then it can't find it. Okay? Unless I give it the address information so that it can find it. But if I don't give it address information, it can't find it. Yeah.
What if you wanted to input like a web page link instead of a document?
You would have to put in the entire address from the website, starting with HTTP. That whole address. But we'll get into that as well. Does that answer your question about folders? So if I now make something, I need to go and save it on the T drive in the whatever folder.
It recognizes it automatically, but behind the scenes, right?
While
it's in the same folder.
It's like, well, what it basically does is looks in the same folder. I mean, think of a filing cabinet.
Yeah.
You swing, you put that in the tax folder. You go and you look in the tax folder. If it's not there, I don't know where I put it. You know, but if it's in the tax folder, I can find it. Exactly. Yep. Okay. So you can now think of it as rooms, think of it as folders,
think of it as drawers in the filing cabinet, and that you've got to go to the right drawer and then the right folder, and that sort of thing.
Okay. So now I am going to go back and I'm going to look at the next page, which is CISS list. Okay. Now, this one I wanted to make pretty. And originally HTML lets you just embed style and color and size and everything I call style right in the HTML. But that's because HTML originally was made for scientists to use, for other scientists to really care. But now you see where pages they care and they look like. And so sticking the style inside the HTML became something people decided was not a good idea. So they developed CSS. CSS stands for Cascading Style Sheets. And as a total aside, the CSS course is a requirement at BCC, is incorporated in this course, and if you're taking this course, you do not have to take the CSS course. That's why anybody who signed up for the CSS course as well as this course, they're not required to take it because it's incorporated in this course. But now back to the CSS that I really care about, which is Cascading Style Sheets. Okay. And if I look at the source on this, this one I don't want. This is how I do style. I put up in the head the word style. And then I write type equals text CSS. And that's a copy and paste. It means that the code is in text. And this is, in particular, CSS text. Now, in fact, this will work if you just look style there. Because originally they thought CSS might have a competitor or a couple of competitors. It doesn't appear to, so style is assumed to be CSS. But I still tend to write it. So I still write type equals text CSS. So then what I do is I pick a tag. I said body. And I want the body to have a color of red, which means I want the text in the body to be red, the font, the characters in the body to be red. Then I said for paragraphs, I would like to align the information to the center, and 2EM, font size 2EM means make it twice the regular size. And then for LIs, I want them to be green. So let's go and look at it, and then we'll come back and talk about how I did it. But the body color is red. So if I come over here, everything is red except for the LIs. These were done with LI. And notice I said the LI should have a color of green. But everything else is red. So everything by default is red unless it's an LI, and then it is green. Okay? Because over here I said the body will be red, and I said the LI will be green. Okay, so what happened? Well, it first made everything red. And then when it said LI green, it said, oh, whoops, I'm supposed to make LIs green. So the thing that is the most, the closest, or the most small image, in other words, body's a big picture, LI is very specific. If there's a big picture and specific, specific wings. So body said make the color red. LI overrode it and made it green for LIs. The specific overrides the general. Does that make sense?
Are you going to be writing CSS within the HTML instead of a different file?
I'm putting keeping it here for this particular course since we've been about to be
Oh, okay.
So, then for paragraphs, I set a line in the center and make them twice the usual size. So if I go back and look, they are aligned to the center. You can't really tell that with the second line, but the first line is definitely aligned to the center. And they're big, okay? Which apparently is twice the usual size. And so that's got me the big size there. So that is how I can do styles. And then I close the style and close the head. Now notice what I did. I had body, a paragraph or LI. Then I put a curly brace. And then I put, what do I want to change? I want to change the color. How do I want to change it? I want to make it red. Notice the colon and the semicolon. They have to be there. On the next one down, I said I want text align. Now these are CSS words. So you don't get to make them up. They're CSS words. And so I picked the one that said make a center. Said text align to the center. I could have left here, I could have right here. So the line to the left or the line to the right. And then I said I want the font size to be 2EM, which means the standard size. I could have made it 3EM, I could have made it 1.5EM. I can make it different things. All of the attributes that I want associated with paragraph have to be inside those curly braces. The things I want associated with LI are inside those curly braces. And the things I want associated with body are inside those curly braces. So I write the word telling what I want to do, like text align. I put a colon, and then I say, okay, how do I want to align it? I want to center it. And then I put a semicolon. Yeah.
How would the association for recognize the body tag? Part of it automatically just
knows
where the body from.
Well, it's got a body tag.
Yeah. It just confused me a little because the top just said body with no tag to it.
No, right, but that means the entire body. And P means anything that has the P tag.
Right.
Okay. It's just smart. It figures it out.
It would be nice to not have to.
Right. I agree with you. Most things you have to be a little more specific. It's not smart in most things. But in this one, it is. So it sees paragraph and it says, oh, there's a paragraph. Make that aligned in the center. And then it sees LI and it says, okay, there's an LI, make it green. And it applies to all of us. Now, when you get into some specific, sophisticated LI, you can start doing more intuitive things. You can say, pick this LI, not that LI. Not really. It's not exactly the same thing.
It's more that you, I don't know how to explain it without losing everybody, so we're gonna stop here. Okay, so what I would like in the 6 minutes that you have left is to come back to the page that you made and throw in a little style. Give something, some body, some color, give a paragraph a color, or do something and give it a little bit of style.
Where would we put the style?
Where I put it. Okay, it's right inside the head, right below the title. Okay? It's inside the head, right below the title. And go in and try putting a little bit of style into your page. Now, unfortunately, the only thing you can do is color, size, and alignment, if that's all I've shown you. If when you're doing your own work, you want to get more creative than I've done, go to these schools, it's a place to go.
open up CSS. So as I said, bring up the page that you wrote a few minutes ago and add in a little style in the head. You only have to add one thing. Make the paragraph red or something like that. But add in some little piece of style. Yeah. The page that you built, I would say. Yes. So bring that one up, the one that you say. If not, you can copy and paste mine, go in the color or whatever. But I would say to open the file that you saved. Okay, so I'm going to go over here to Notepad, and I'm going to do a file open, and I'm going inside whatever, and I'm looking for all files, so I'm getting first 11. So there it is. Okay, so there's my page. So I'm going to go in, and I'll put style here. So there's a simple change I made. I added in style, type equals text CSS, paragraph, where it came. And your pink, you can't really read very well, so I'll change that to green or blue. Red, I guess. There. Okay, so I went in and I changed the style. I said make the paragraph red. So my paragraph is now red. Okay, so that's all I did, is I just changed the paragraph color to red.
Oh,